I'm Savannah.
I'm Rachel.
And this is
That's What She Said. In season 2, episode 11, Booze Cruise, at about 10 minutes in, after Michael Scott meets Captain Jack.
In an office, when you're ranking people, manager is higher than captain. On a boat, who knows? It's nebulous. Hi.
Hello there.
Long time no see.
It's been a while, but we are back with Booze Cruise.
We're back with Booze Cruise. Yes, very excited for this one.
Coming in hot.
Very chaotic.
How have you been? What's been going on?
I've been great. Just been working, doing some yoga. Really enjoyed yoga and froyo last night with you.
Yeah, we had a nice little date.
Oh my God, it was a lovely evening. Sweet frog.
It was like Myo Yin yoga, which I don't know if any of y'all have ever done, but it's really intense.
Mm-hmm. It's like a myofascial release like class.
But you're holding the poses in. So the yin is misleading.
Yeah.
Because you're really breathing into these really tight spots.
Intense. It's like Swedish deep tissue deep massage tissue. Almost. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. You walk out feeling like Gumby or something.
10
you know?
Feet taller.
Yeah. So that was amazing. And I'm doing great today. How are you?
I'm also great. Yeah. I am so excited for the office convention,
yes.
The reunion tour.
Yeah. So as we were hanging out last night, we found out that they added Paul Lieberstein, a.k.a. Toby to the roster.
Plenderson.
So he's going to be there. And they have one like mystery person that they're going to reveal, you know, I think on the first day, they said,
yeah,
of the convention. So we're going to find out who that is. Hopefully, we're really crossing our fingers for Steve Carell. That's a stretch, I think, but I really hope that he's going to be there.
You never know. Well, you know, Stanley's going to be there. Meredith, Creed, yeah. Like the whole gang's
Rain
coming.
Rainn Wilson, Dwight. Oh, yeah. Angela. Yeah. It's going to be a great
Brian,
lineup.
Brian, Kevin. Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of really, really cool people there. I'm really excited to see Madge and Hide because they're like random characters, but
Padge.
Nope, it's always been Madge. So there's a lot of celebrity guests and photo ops, and you can be a volunteer.
Yeah.
Right? Like, It's just going to be a really big, fun event.
Nerdy and amazing and all the things.
There's
all
a
the
Pam's things. Fans art show. You can submit like a piece of art.
Ooh.
There's also going to be a pretzel eating contest.
Oh, pretzel day.
Hosted by Leslie David Baker.
I
believe
love
Stanley.
That so much.
And I think there's after hours comedy. I mean, just all sorts
so many
of stuff.
Things. My favorite thing, like I'm looking forward to most, I think, is the like Meredith hit by a car photo op situation. They have like a PT Cruiser that you can like pose on, like you're getting hit by the car.
And like, who wouldn't want to do that?
I know.
You know?
I know.
So I'm super pumped for that. That's coming up August 2nd and 3rd.
Amazing.
At the Meadowlands Convention Center.
And we're going to document everything. It's going to be fantastic.
Yes.
Also wanted to shout out the Electric City documentary. We're going to do a little mini episode about it.
So that came out just a few months ago, I think.
Mm-hmm, very recently.
And it's so almost 20 years since the pilot of The Office aired. And now it's this behind Dunder Mifflin, the Electric City doc.
Yeah.
So look out for our mini on that.
Yes, yes. So very excited about all that. And yeah, so many great things.
I'm ready to meet my party captain for the day. So let's
I'm
get
your party captain.
So let's get into Beat or Bear.
Let's do that.
First thing, Beat or Bear. Quarterly camaraderie events.
Bear.
I didn't even get the question out.
I'm not a huge, huge fan of regularly scheduled group activities.
You know what?
You know what I mean?
Also,
at
work, like it's
forced.
It's trying to make you forget how miserable you are the rest of the time.
Yeah. I will say if it was Michael Scott planning it, it might be a beat for me. But in regular real life, Bear.
Bear.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm with you. Okay. How about the Michael Scott / Tony Robbins Leadership School? And this comes out because Michael Scott took a Tony Robbins course. He didn't. He just
said he did.
He just, yeah, he listened to the preview that he didn't have to pay for. Oh, my God. And so he fancies himself a very strong leader and wants to teach that to other people. So the school of leadership.
I would say B, even though he didn't take the full course. But, you know, Tony Robbins, that's a pretty renowned program, person, you know, whatever. So I'm gonna give it a B.
Okay. For the first 10 minutes of a Tony Robbins course by the airport. How about Captain Jack? How do you feel about Captain Jack?
I love Captain Jack because he kind of puts Michael in his place a little bit.
Captain Jack Sparrow of the Black Pearl Gym. No, not that Captain Jack.
I'm going to give it a beat. Yeah, I love Captain Jack because the banter and like just kind of tension between him and Michael is kind of at the core of this episode, I feel like.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yep. Beat or bear, Roy publicly setting a date for their wedding on a microphone on a booze cruise.
June 10th. The date is June 10th, and that is today also when we're recording.
You can hear the wedding bells, the would-be wedding bells.
Would-be. I'm going to give that a bear because I feel as though it was tacky and unnecessary. And also, you could see Jim's, like, soul leaving his body when it was happening, so I feel bad for that man.
Ward's also a little bit drunk at the time.
Yeah.
Too many scuba shots.
Ugh. Yeah. No. Bear. The whole thing. Bear.
Okay. Last but not least, Jim's crush revealed. Finally.
I'm going to give that...
I know. It's a tough one.
Because, again, she's still engaged and there's so many things. And he's got Body Bag Barbie there with him. So there's just so many things. I'm going to say... a beat, because I feel like at this point in the season, I really start to feel for Jim, and him and Pam kind of have a moment, which we can get into, on the ship, where it's just like, he's coming to the point where he's like, I just really love this person, you know what I mean? And it's just getting so intense for him, I feel. And I feel like for him to finally, like, kind of get that off his chest, you know?
Tell somebody else.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to give it a beat, because I do feel like it's kind of sweet. Regardless of the atmosphere and situation.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you did well with that because there are a lot of tough ones on there. All right. Let's get into the plot points of the episode.
Let's do it. Okay. So let's get into season 2, episode 11, Booze Cruise.
We do not start on a booze cruise.
No. No.
Normal day in the office. In fact, so normal that the cold open is Jim playing a prank on Dwight.
Of course. Of course. This one's pretty good, actually. He puts all of his office supplies, including his, like, nameplate.
And his wallet.
And his wallet in the vending machine, so Dwight has to buy back his things. Or other people can buy them.
And luckily, you know, Pam got a pencil cup. And Jim had a bag full of nickels because Dwight's wallet was unfortunately in the vending machine.
Right.
So it's just Dwight putting nickels, feeding nickels into this vending machine to get his wallet. To get his
stuff back, which I feel, I mean, most stuff in a vending machine is like at least 50 cents to like $2. So that's a lot of nickels.
That would take a while.
And like the fact that he gave him nickels, not quarters. Like
that must have taken time too. Who carries that many nickels?
Correct.
But Steve, the vending machine guy, is friends with Jim, so Savannah and I always giggle. We love this prank. Okay, so first quarter camaraderie event seems to be a surprise, and the episode opens with everyone in the office sort of guessing where they're going to go.
Right, because Michael has only given them hints in the form of, like, a packing list. Right.
Let's go, like, over some of the mysterious things he tells them to bring.
My favorite personally is going to be the rubber-soled shoes. Because, like, why? Am I going to be around electricity? Do I need to be grounded? Like, what's going on here?
And a swimsuit and a ski mask.
But also a toothbrush.
Right. Can't forget dental hygiene. So everyone's like, are we going to a body of water?
Right. Are we staying overnight somewhere?
The ski mask is throwing them off.
Yeah.
Stanley's really desperate to know. He kind of bulges into Michael. Bulges.
That's what she said.
He kind of barges into Michael's office and says, do I need to tell my wife that we're going overnight?
Right.
So Michael reveals that they are going on a booze cruise of Lake Wallen Paw Pack in January.
Because it's cheaper.
And freezing.
And freezing cold. Like, mind you, he did not put, like, a heavy coat on the list of things to pack. Which
Mittens.
Way, yeah, yeah.
Oh, God. So, yeah. So, we are looking forward to this booze cruise. Mm-hmm. But first, we got to deal with the corporate people. So, Jan comes into Michael's office with Brenda.
Yes.
Who, Michael says, every man's dream. And Jan goes, oh, like, your boss, you know, like, coming into your office. And Michael says, no, two ladies at once.
Got her.
So it really just starts off on a great foot.
And mind you, Brenda, to me, is, like, the female embodiment of Toby. Like, it's that kind of energy. You know, she doesn't really want to be there. She's just, like...
babysitting.
Yeah, yeah.
She's just the corporate babysitter.
Because I feel as though Jan did not want to go. You know what I mean? So she's sending Brenda in her place, essentially.
And Jan is very clear, like, the IRS has specific rules for this being tax deductible.
Right.
So Michael's like, oh, yeah, we're going on a booze cruise. And Jan's like, this has to have legitimate business applications.
Right.
So that's kind of why Brenda is just swept along, so to speak, in all of this. She has to make watch sure Michael.
It stays on the rails, you know? And so, in order to, you know, follow along in these guidelines, Michael has come up with this leadership kind of program, seminar sort of thing.
Do you guys get it? Ship? Like a boat? So that's the analogy we're going for.
Leadership. Here. Which, like, hey, I'm kind of vibing with it, okay? I like boats, personally. I like being on the water.
Oh, you're a boat girl.
I am a boat girl.
I could see it.
I am.
Well, last year, the theme was bowling. Or no, the theme was bowl over the competition.
So you can guess where they went last year.
So this is a thing for Michael Scott.
Yes, it is. So they kind of are talking, Michael and the employees of the office are kind of talking about metaphors between, like, the departments of Dunder Mifflin and, like, I guess the departments of a ship.
Right. Michael's gathered them all in the conference room and trying to make this work somehow.
Right.
And he is feeling very confident in his ability to make this metaphor happen.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite part is when Daryl says, how about the sales department is the sales?
And Michael's like, yes, Daryl, the sales department does do sales.
And of course, everyone's kind of pissed off that Michael didn't tell them where they were going.
Right.
You know, Jim and Pam are pretending not to know the movie Titanic. I mean, everyone's just ragging on Michael at this point.
And then Jim also has a talking head where he's like, if Michael does, you know, I'm king of the world or whatever, in the first 10 minutes, you can have my next paycheck.
Stands at the front of the boat.
Yeah, yeah.
King of the world. Yeah, so that's where the leadership metaphor is going. I guess he should have stayed for the full Tony Robbins seminar.
Right.
Now we are, next scene, we're boarding the ship with all the members of the office. Mm-hmm. Michael Scott is like, you're the skipper and I'm the first mate and the native and all these offensive stereotypes.
Oh my God.
And he meets Captain Jack, who is a legitimate ship captain.
Correct.
And has real authority.
Yes. I also would like to point out that Toby, as people are boarding the ship and, like, the ship is kind of taking off, or boat, whatever, Toby's, like, running to the dock and he misses the boat, basically. And
he really misses the boat.
Yeah. And he looks at the camera and he's like, I guess I shouldn't have gone to dinner first. Like, you can tell he didn't actually want to go and he was plotting on missing the ship, you know?
That was an excellent idea on Toby's part.
And I'm surprised, though, that it wasn't mandatory for him to attend. I guess since Brenda was there, it was fine.
Maybe,
but, like,
Brenda was taking over the HR duties, so he felt like, all right, I'm out.
Captain Jack is just doing his job and trying to have a safety talk, kind of like the equivalent of, like, a flight attendant telling you how to put your seatbelt on.
Yeah, he says...
very important information.
The exits, right? We have life jackets. Mm-hmm. The Coast Guard makes me tell you this and this.
Mm-hmm.
And who keeps interrupting?
Michael, of course. Michael he wants to be involved. He wants to feel like he's in charge. And I think he's
I'm your party captain, too.
He wants to feel in charge. And I think he's feeling a little left out because this is Captain Jack's realm. He is the leader of this ship, you know.
Hence the quote, the opening quote, in an office, when you're ranking people, manager is higher than captain.
Of course.
So, and obviously this presents a very real, confusing time for Dwight, who gives all his affection to Michael.
Right.
But now there's a new head honcho on the seas, and it's Captain Jack.
Yes, yes. Dwight is very conflicted in the situation. But he loves Captain Jack, though.
He does. He pretty quickly abandons Michael.
Yeah.
Because he realizes Captain Jack's the one with the authority here.
Correct.
So he sucks up real hard.
Yes. And this ends up working out in his favor because Captain Jack lets him steer the ship. Or so Dwight thinks. It's like a fake steering wheel, basically. But
he's on top of the world.
Yes.
Speaking of on top of the world, Jim does owe the camera crew
his next paycheck.
Paycheck.
He does, because Michael, what does he do? He goes out on the bow? Stern? Bat? Whatever. End of the ship. I'm the king of the world! He does, in fact, do that in the first 10 minutes of them being on this ship.
He does. So as Dwight and Michael are finding their place in the hierarchy of this boost cruise, we see some of the other members of the office. So Ryan is studying in a closet, basically, because he has a test for business school tomorrow.
So unfortunate. And he ends up getting seasick because of this.
Of course. Ugh. Stanley's also grumpy and seasick. However, there are some people having fun. Meredith, Roy, Daryl start kind of drinking, enjoying their time. And we go to this weird table of Pam, Roy, Jim, and Katie.
Yes, because Jim is still seeing Katie.
And she's girl. On this boost cruise.
Yep.
And Katie's talking about high school. She was a cheerleader.
Bishop O'Hara.
Roy played football. Ugh. Pam was Miss Artsy Fartsy. So it's basically like Roy and Katie are bonding over these things that Jim and Pam are sort of making fun of or don't care about. Yes.
A-W-E-S-O-M-E.
Right? Like, it's like, Katie's like, we're at the cool table. And they're like, Pam and Jim just make fun of her with their eyes.
Yeah. So while this is going on with Pam, Roy, Jim, and Katie, Brenda is waiting patiently for Michael's metaphorical presentation to begin, and everyone else is just partying and trying to have a good time, doing limbo, except for Ryan, of course, because he's still studying. But they're having a great time, actually.
Captain Jack is leading the party.
Yeah.
Meredith wants to hold his stick.
That's what she said.
Yeah. He says it's usually a woman when Dwight volunteers, so.
So Michael ends up joining the party and showing off some of his dance moves.
We'll have a motivational dance contest. There are other people on this booze cruise, by the way.
It's not just Dunderman Flynn.
It's not just the office.
Yeah.
And so Michael just keeps interrupting.
Mm-hmm. Sporadically dancing in the camera. Like, everyone's just kind of staring at him. I'm pretty sure he's, like, by himself on the dance floor.
He is embarrassing his whole office.
It's so bad. And then he also tries to play guitar for everyone.
Yeah, he plays, like, the first two notes of Smoke on the Water. And Creed actually takes it over from him.
He does. And Michael's like, good luck with that, man. It's out of tune. It's out of tune.
That's a defective axe.
And Creed knocks it out of the park because, as we learn, Creed was a part of, you know, actually a pretty famous band.
The Grassroots. He toured with them.
Yeah.
He said there were a lot of drugs involved, which is why his attention span can only last like 90 seconds nowadays. But he's jamming.
He rocks it out. He's good on the guitar.
People are dancing again. Snorkel shots are happening.
Daryl, Daryl, Daryl.
So it's getting a little rowdy for Pam and Jim.
And everyone's getting seasick. Meredith barfs. I think Michael barfs eventually. And he's like, it's my medicine. I'm on vomicillin.
Stanley's sick.
Ryan. Yes, yes. Which, I just gotta say, being seasick is the worst feeling. And, like, being trapped out on a boat.
Well, drinking and boats.
And drinking, exactly.
And
they don't go together.
Stanley's wife, Terry, does say at one point, why are we even here? You don't like these people.
Correct. And Stanley just looks miserable, like the most miserable we've ever seen him. So let's get into some relationships.
Yeah,
relationships.
So relationships. Do you guys get that? The ship. So, as I said, it's getting a little rowdy for Pam and Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's doing shots, getting a little crazy. They end up outside on the dock,
mm-hmm.
having a little bit of an intimate moment about how Pam doesn't really get Roy.
Yeah, because he's kind of like bonding with Katie and just like, I don't know, it's... They're obviously out of touch, like Pam and Roy. They just, you know, are disconnected.
And
you can
Jim
see
and
that.
Katie, though.
Yeah, and you can see that.
Yeah, so the carefree, sort of light, more lighthearted, maybe, people are inside. And then you can see Jim's, like, kind of, almost about to say something to Pam, like, mm-hmm. really important,
mm-hmm.
and backs off.
Yeah.
And they go back inside.
Yeah, and Pam and Katie start talking about being engaged, and Katie's like looking at Pam's ring and she's like, wow, I would love to be engaged. Like, how did you pull that off? And Pam's like, well, I've been engaged for 3 years and there's no end in sight.
Right. Right. So in that same arena, Jim is talking at the bar with like Captain Jack, mm-hmm. Roy, Michael, Dwight. They're talking about Michael's presentation, about mm-hmm. leadership. Captain Jack tells this really moving story about how he was the captain of a boat in Desert Storm and he married his first wife right when he got back.
Right.
And Jim is posed a question about, you know, if the ship was sinking, who would you save?
Mm. And the camera's automatically panned to mm-hmm. Pam and he's just kind of like,
Customer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Customer's always king.
Exactly.
And then as Jim walks away, he tells the cameras, yeah, I would save the receptionist. And wants to go talk to Pam. So he's walking boy. Over there. You're like, yes, Jim, go, honey. Go tell her. And what happens?
At that same moment, Roy has been inspired by Captain Jack's Desert Storm marrying upon returning, you know, story. And he goes up to the microphone drunkenly and is like, you know what, Pammy, enough is enough. I say we set a date. How about June 10th? Ugh. And of course, Pam is so happy.
Everyone starts clapping and cheering and she goes
except
up
for
there.
Jim
is shocked. Shell-shocked. Yeah. Right?
So unfortunate.
Ugh. And then Katie's kind of not even noticing next to him, like, Jim wants to give a toast and like, we're so happy for them. So it's this moment of like juxtaposition
mm-hmm.
between like all these couples, right? It's kind of interesting too that Michael and Captain Jack are mm-hmm. at such odds
mm-hmm.
because, you know, Captain Jack's like, I'll marry you right now as captain of the ship.
And Michael's like, I'll marry you right now as manager of Dunder Mifflin.
Pam says, no. And he goes, then I'll give you away.
Oh, God.
She says, no, thank you. But there's a lot of conflict in
yes.
this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some romantic dancing going on. Everyone's really excited, celebrating Pam and Roy.
Ugh.
And the cameras catch Katie asking Jim if that will ever be them. Basically, like excited. Like, oh, do you think that'll ever be us? Like, are you ever going to propose?
No.
And then he says, let's break up.
Eee.
So she's on a boat, right? With
trapped.
All his coworkers, right? It is rough, but that's how you can tell. Jim's usually like that nice guy.
Yeah.
That's how you can tell he is just done.
Yeah.
He is so hurt.
Rough seas.
Just some choppy, stormy seas ahead.
Okay, so at this point, Michael is feeling super left out.
Yeah.
Because everyone's kind of like bonding together, or they're like coupled up, or kind of like in their own clique.
Or Captain Jack inspired them, and
right.
not Michael Scott.
Right. So he is looking for a way to draw attention to
you
himself.
You know what? Even Dwight abandoned him.
To drive the ship.
Yeah.
Steer the ship. do you want us to run aground, woman?
Like, he must really be feeling so low.
Especially since he's the one that planned this and put it all together, and, like, everyone is having such a great time, but
without him, sort of.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's, like, so ego-driven.
Yes. So in the midst of all of this, Michael is feeling left out, and he decides to kind of rein everyone back in by circling back to his seminar,
his leadership
seminar. So he decides to throw out a business scenario metaphor, and he blurts out that the ship is sinking. Who are we going to save?
This is a business scenario, he's shouting as people panic and throw on life vests and jump over the edge of the ship.
Yes, true and utter panic. Like,
chaos.
Oh my God.
And it's obviously, people are like, where's Captain Jack?
Mm-hmm.
And we earlier saw Captain Jack sneak off with Meredith.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael says into the microphone, Captain Jack is gone. Mm-hmm. The ship is sinking. This ship is going to be at the bottom of the lake.
So terrible. So terrible.
So once Captain Jack comes back and gets everything all worked out,
mm-hmm.
we see Michael tied up with zip ties. He's like, I'm in the brig.
Where he belongs.
He's in boat jail, zip tied, like, outside to the railing.
Oh, my God.
And he said, what was with the guy jumping overboard? If he had just listened to me, he would be motivated right now instead of all wet.
Oh, God.
So Jim wanders out on the dock. Obviously, Jim is having quite a night as well.
Mm-hmm.
And him and Michael have a special moment that we did not expect.
They do. And this is surprising because I feel like, one, Michael can't be trusted with secure information. And Jim tends to be a very, I feel like, closed off kind of person with Michael. So this is very surprising. He does end up telling Michael that he's always had a thing for Pam. Which is huge.
Especially after she just got engaged.
Right.
And Michael says, oh, that's shocking. I never would have put you two together. Like, I usually have a sense for those things.
Right. But he does give kind of good advice. And as we see down the road, it does work out. But Michael says, engaged ain't married. Stay positive. Don't give up. Like, he's, like, fully supportive of it. However, he now is carrying this huge secret. And he's terrible at keeping secrets.
Like, no boundaries. And this is a combination of Michael maybe being a little bit vulnerable.
Yeah.
Like, physically, he's, like, tied up outside on a freezing boat.
Right.
And also, right, Dwight left him. He feels like his coworkers left him. Mm-hmm. Captain Jack took over. And then Jim is obviously not in his sharpest state right now.
I feel like he's also kind of, like, at his wit's end with the situation, too, you know? And I feel like he just kind of has a...
It, like, oozes out of him, and Michael's just there.
Yeah. And he kind of has a, like, I have nothing to lose at this point, whatever, kind of attitude. You know what I mean?
That is so true. And also, Michael is being really soft and, like, kind to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Like,
for sure.
He's just having a normal... He's like, oh, cool night for you. Your friend got engaged.
Yeah.
Like, in a very casual, normal way.
Yeah.
So I do feel like it's a little bit of both characters giving in that moment.
Right.
But then you're like, oh, no, Jim. Mm. You just told Michael you have a crush on Pam.
Yes. Like, you're going to regret that on Monday. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Ugh. And so we'll see, folks. The booze cruise was a lot more eventful than we planned for.
Than we ever could have expected.
And we never brushed our teeth.
That is true. We never used the ski mask either.
Or the rubber-soled shoes. But we were prepared for all of it.
We were. I mean...
To rob a bank, escape through the sewers.
Brush your teeth.
Brush our teeth. That's all that matters.
I love it. I love it. Okay, let's dig into some trivia for this episode.
First and foremost.
Yeah.
An actual booze cruise in January on the lake in the middle of Pennsylvania would not be comfortable or possible.
You would be better off having a hockey tournament.
Correct. So just got to get that one out of the way.
It would be frozen.
Frozen. And I'm pretty sure they don't allow boats after, like, November or something.
Have you seen Titanic? Ice is a ship's worst enemy.
I think you're thinking about the Hunt for Red October.
You're right.
So let's get that piece of trivia out of the way. It is kind of funny and weird that it is supposed to be in January and the lake would be frozen.
Yes. And speaking of that, this episode was filmed in Long Beach Harbor, which is in California, which makes sense as to why they were able to film it. Whether it was actually in January, I'm not sure, but it was filmed in California, like a lot of The Office was.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So the idea for this episode came from BJ Novak, who plays Ryan. He literally just pitched it as booze cruise. So they figured out how to get the whole office on a booze cruise. And I guess that turned into the camaraderie event.
Love that.
And everything else.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So Rainn Wilson and Jenna Fischer did actually get seasick while filming this.
I believe
just
it.
Just had to share that. Yeah. I also believe that. I also feel like if I was to be on this episode, I would have been one of the ones to get seasick too. I get seasick pretty easily. So.
Honestly, I do too.
It's terrible.
And I feel like I've had it at different times in my life. I've been more susceptible prone to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What is that?
I don't know.
Vomicillin?
Vomicillin. And also, I feel like they probably were on the boat for a long time. That's taking true. Like multiple takes, you know, and just filming for a long time. Ugh, that sucks.
That's really true. So speaking of, Jenna Fischer did record a behind the scenes booze cruise, like with like her, like a
camcorder. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll post the link to that if we find it. All credit to her, but she kind of goes around and interviews people and gives you a little behind the scenes. It's so fun.
That is fun.
Honestly, is this the first big field trip out of The Office?
I think at this point, yeah.
The first, like, real big change. I mean, not the warehouse or something, but this is the first, like, people in real life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think so. So it's fun to see them with that behind the scenes.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So Brenda Withers, who plays Brenda in this episode.
Brenda.
She's actually Mindy Kaling's college best friend.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the actor Rob Riggle played Captain Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And he was an officer in the Marine Corps from 1990 until 2013.
Wow.
So that's a long time. And Captain Jack was apparently in
Desert Storm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Some continuity there.
So he had a lot of years in the military.
Yeah.
He was in active duty. I just looked it up. He was in active duty for 9 years, including in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Oh, wow.
Before transitioning to the reserve.
Okay.
And then he left flight school to pursue comedy and theater and film.
What a twist. Wow.
That's actually amazing. Like, man of many talents.
Yeah, honestly. So Creed Bratton, in this episode, explained to us that he played bass with the Grassroots. Creed Bratton, the real Creed Bratton, he did play lead guitar for the Grassroots in real life. And I love that so much. I also love in this episode that they show, like, real photos of him.
Yes, black and white photos.
That's, like, my favorite. Oh, yes.
And he just jams.
Yes.
Like, he lets loose and...
Yes, he makes such great music and he can sing, too. Like, he still puts out music today and it's so good.
We love Creed.
I love it.
So during the filming of this episode, the secondary cast members learned that they were promoted to the series regulars.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure it was like week to week or like episode to episode up until that point.
Yeah.
So you can see there's a photo of Angela and Jenna Fischer that is on Pam's desk in the episode Take Your Daughter to Work Day, which we have not covered yet.
Right.
And it is them on this boat.
Wait.
Like, smiling and excited that they're promoted to series regulars.
That's so
but
cute.
But they put it in the show.
Aww.
Right.
Aww,
so there's some
so cute.
Really cute little nuggets if you look for them.
Aww. Okay. So Michael, his dance routine that he gives us, that is based on David Brent's awkward dance in the UK version of The Office. And along with that, the song that Michael is dancing to is an instrumental of Get Busy by Sean Paul, which is actually a really great song.
That's an old one.
It is.
The musical group that performs on the booze cruise is actually the group that performs the theme music.
Wait.
For The Office.
Really?
The Scrantones.
Okay, I love that name, first of all.
Yeah, so that is the band.
Wait, that's so cool.
That Creed plays with and jams with and
They show up in Booze Cruise. I didn't realize that the theme song was like performed by like a live band. I thought it was just like maybe mixed or something, you know, but like
it could be, it might be like so three cool. out of four of them did yeah. the theme song or something, but yeah,
that's them. So cool.
Isn't that cool?
That's a good one. Speaking of the band, the guitar player in the band, the Scrantones, I guess, on the cruise is left-handed. Both Michael and Creed play his guitar upside down in this episode when they, like, take over.
Ooh, I love that. Yeah. Michael does it horribly, and Creed does yeah. pretty well.
Good luck with that thing. It's pretty out of tune.
So last but not least for trivia, we saw this on the Office Ladies podcast, but this was the first episode to air on a Thursday evening, which during live TV time was like a prime spot.
Yeah.
And they were moved from a Tuesday at like 10 o'clock.
Oh, Tuesday. Okay.
So the Office Ladies podcast with Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsey does say that this was a big deal. And mm-hmm. honestly, a perfect episode because it doesn't get more like cinematic masterpiece than Booze Cruise.
That's so true. And also, if anyone just so happened to be watching The Office for the first time on this like primetime slot, this episode probably is one that would really draw them in, you know what I mean?
Yes. And even like Amy Adams, like Rob Riggle, like there's mm-hmm. these bigger names,
right?
And even from the cold open, you know, to this big like emotional thing with Pam yes. and Jim, there's big moments in this yes. episode.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
So we'll have to post the link. Go look for Jenna Fischer Booze Cruise documentary yes. because you get a little extra behind the scenes.
Yes, I love that. Yeah, we'll definitely share that on Instagram so you guys can take a look at it as well. But yeah, some great trivia for this one.
Good stuff. Nice. All right, time to get into Cole Walk and Dundies. All right, Savannah, what you got for a Cole Walk?
All right, let me lay it on you. So, this Booze Cruise, first of all, don't know how it got approved. I know that they had, like, you know, some stipulations about having to have like educational stuff occur during this event.
And one could argue lots of educational stuff.
I mean, but how did plus ones get approved for this? So like Jim brought Katie.
Mm-hmm.
Stanley brought his wife. And there might've been like a couple others, but like, this is a work retreat, quote unquote, and it's supposed to be educational and more of like a
fundatory
conference in a way. Yeah. Hmm. So I'm like, if Dunder Mifflin was like on the fence even about them even doing it, how were they able to bring plus ones? Because I'm assuming you'd have to pay like per them. Person, right? Like, and the alcohol and stuff that they consume, and there might have been food there too, but like, how? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a great question, because also some people did not bring anybody. Mm-hmm. And you would think, honestly, if your company's paying for it, someone would grab your neighbor, your yeah. sister, right?
Yeah.
So that's actually a really good question, because Roy obviously there because he works.
He works,
why,
right.
But also, why is just Roy and Dick? Right? It's just why, Roy and why Daryl.
Where's Madge?
Where's Hida? Yeah. That's kind of a weird, I feel like they only brought in the ones that were necessary for the plot.
Yeah. You know? For sure. And also, I mean, I don't know. It's just very surprising. I wonder if, like, if Jan had been there instead of Brenda, if, like, that point would have been brought up, she probably would have been like, Michael, why are people's plus ones here? This is a business, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I just wish that would have been kind of expanded on, because I'm just curious.
I do feel like Jan is just backing out after all the weird stuff with her and Michael. She yes. wants nothing to do with him.
Yes.
So, but then obviously Pam and Jim intensifies.
Right.
So they are the focus of this Booze
and, yeah, and you're right. Like, the plus ones were kind of crucial to the plot. Like, if Katie hadn't been there, it wouldn't have been so intense between like Pam, Roy, Jim, Katie, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, that dynamic had to be created somehow, so she had to be there.
Yeah, that's a great yeah. co-op, because the plus ones are random, and also yeah. again, are they paying for stuff on the boat, or are they paying per right. person? Is the company expensing this booze cruise, and how are they?
Because again, like last year, they went bowling. Bowling cost versus like booze cruise and plus ones and live music cost, like that's an astronomical difference, I have to imagine, you know?
Yes, practically. That's a tough one to swallow.
Like bringing a plus one to a bowling alley, way different than bringing one to like a booze cruise.
You're right. Like getting on a boat. You know? They also thought they were going on an overnight or something.
True.
So maybe they already invited people.
Yeah, that's true.
And then we're going on a booze cruise.
Surprise. Like what? Yeah. Okay. I want to hear yours though, because I'm curious.
My coal walk is about Ryan Howard.
Oh.
Who is in business school.
Yes.
And has a test the next morning. Mm-hmm. Just say no. Like, just say no. Say you're sober.
Because he also didn't even really do anything. Like, I almost forget that he's there because he's just in the closet studying. And then he's, like, sick for the rest of the time, you know? Yeah.
And Michael sort of insists, right? Like, you're an adult. This is after work hours. Mm-hmm. I know he does ask, and Michael says, like, nope, this is really important.
Right.
I'd be like, I'm an intern. I have a test tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting on a boat.
And you're telling me that Toby can purposefully
miss
the boat, but the temp, like,
but
you know.
It's probably because Michael wants Ryan there and doesn't want Toby.
That's true.
There.
That's very, very true.
But again, be like,
true.
I'm sober. Right? Like, be like, I can't be around alcohol.
Especially Ryan. Like, I'm surprised he didn't come up with some scheme for him to go on another wild goose chase to get him out of the activity.
Or show up late.
Yeah.
Like, just be like, late. Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
I stopped for
I'm
dinner.
I'm sick. Or I'm sick. Whatever. Yeah. I'm sick.
Right. Exactly. So, just boundaries, baby.
That's
like,
such
just
a good
say
point.
No.
Especially
to the after work booze cruise.
Yeah. Especially since Ryan, I feel like he's developing more, like, courage with, like, Michael and kind of putting his foot down in more situations. So I am surprised that he didn't just...
He knows the deal by now.
Yeah.
He's not being roped into these scenarios where he doesn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
And he does kind of complain about it. He's like, you know, Michael says, oh, just get some flashcards. And he's like, well, I'm on a boat, so... Like, just don't get on the boat. Just say no and all that. Don't get on the boat.
That's such a great point. And again, I almost forgot that Ryan was even there because he's, you know, just holed up in a nautical closet studying.
What is a closet called on a boat?
I don't know. Oh, that's a great one. I love that.
Thank you.
Okay. I do want to get into Dundies.
Yes. What is your Dundie for booze cruise?
Mine is the Get Busy Dundee. Get busy. Dun, 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 dun. Because Michael's dancing is like nothing we've ever seen thus far.
It's honestly a work of art.
It's insane. And I just really like it. There's not really much more behind it than that. And I really like that song. It's like a classic. If you were like, you know, a young tween in the early 2000s, you know the song, you vibe with it.
Right.
So...
You get busy.
Exactly. I just love the whole scenario.
Honestly, like, I just can relate to, like, get a couple drinks in me. Like, I'm that old white guy on the dance floor.
Yes.
He's just having a good time. He's trying to inspire other people.
Right.
Everyone's a little bit embarrassed.
Yes.
Like, I relate.
Yeah. I love it. I just love it. It doesn't really go much deeper than that, so.
The Get Busy Dundee.
Yes. Let's hear yours.
My Dundee for this episode is something that only really comes up in the extended version.
Okay.
And Oscar is kind of a mean drunk.
Yeah.
So there's only like two small scenes in this. And one of them, he is talking to Kevin. And one of them, he's talking to Phyllis. And in both, he is sitting at a table drinking with the lights flashing and music going just next to these people. So with Kevin... Kevin says, I wonder if the band will let me play. And Oscar says, I wouldn't. I've heard your stuff. And Kevin says, you're kind of nasty. And Oscar just kind of slurs, you and Angela are the worst.
Oh, my God.
So it's like real Oscar coming out when he's usually pretty buttoned up and professional.
Right.
And then to Phyllis, Phyllis says something like, oh, this is so nice or something. And Oscar goes, shut up, Phyllis. And I love that.
It's like all this pent up, like,
cattiness
stuff. Yeah, that is hidden behind this, like, very polite, like you said, buttoned up accountant. And it's just like coming out. The truth is coming out.
I want to see more of mean drunk Oscar. Yes. He is the only one where I would love that part of his character, I think, too. Anyone else, I'd be like, ew, not great.
Right.
Mean drunk Oscar.
Oh, my God.
You know he's got some good, like, hard-hitting comments about everybody else.
Yes.
He sees it all. He's smart and witty.
He's going to spill the tea. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this gets the mean drunk Oscar Dundee.
I love that. Oscar. That is awesome. Well, I think we covered everything.
That wraps up the Booze Cruise episode.
Yes, yes. So we'll come out with a mini about the Electric City dock here soon, and we'll keep you posted on all the fun, crazy things we're doing throughout the summer leading up to convention. And yeah, you know where to find us.
Get busy, baby.
That's what she said.